Okay, firstly, I'd like to thank organizers to give me a chance to talk here, contest the matter seminar at Perimeter Institute. So today I'm going to talk about a simple holographic superconductor with momentum relaxation. So this work is done with Kwon-young Kim at GIST in Korea, and then Kyung-gyu Kim at Yonsei University. He was in GIST, but recently he moved to Yonsei University. So, and then this talk is based on our previous papers, and the next paper will appear soon in archive. So firstly, I'm gonna briefly explain holographic correspondence, and then I'm gonna tell you about some motivations to study holographic superconductor, and then I'm gonna briefly explain the original holographic superconductor models suggested by these three peoples. Because our model have some improvement from the original holographic superconductor models, so that's why I explained the original models. And then actually in here, I'm just focused on what happens on the gravity side. So what make a condensations, and then the perturbations, what happens with the perturbations. And then I just focus on what happens gravity. In the work, and then by using the holographic dictionaries, then the result of the phenomena of gravity can be interpreted to the condensed matter systems. So in the result, I'm gonna show you our result, how can be interpreted in condensed matter system, and then I will summarize. Okay, let me start with holographic correspondence. So the idea of hologram was suggested by Gerard Tuve in 1993, and then later Leonard Susskind is developed. So actually, this idea came from the black hole entropies. So 1970s, people found that black hole satisfied the thermodynamic laws. And then the mysterious things was like this. Entropy is proportional to the area, not volumes. The ordinary thermodynamic systems, the entropy proportional to the volumes, but in this case, black hole's case was area. And then the Hubbard and the gravitational constant was involved in the expression for the entropies. So Gerard Tuve to try to explain why the black hole entropies to the proportional to the areas. And then one of his idea was like this. Okay, in quantum gravity regimes, he considered in the quantum gravity regimes, every information was stored at the surface of the Berg. So what he said is the combination of quantum mechanics and gravity requires the three-dimensional world to be an image of data that can be stored on a two-dimensional projection, much like a holographic image. Okay, so this is the basic idea how people come up with an idea of holography. So basically, this idea kind of suggested a new perspective towards the quantum gravity initially. And then later, Maldacena suggested ADS-CFT in 1997. And then he conjectures type 2B string theory. He stated type 2B string theory on ADS-5 cross S-5 plus some appropriate boundary conditions is 0 to n equal 4, d equal 3 plus 1 un Yang-Mills. So this argument was established on this. So supersymmetric group of ADS-5 cross S-5 is the same as the superconformal group in 3 plus 1 space-times. Basically, isometric group in the Berg, same as to the isometric group of the field theory. So that is the basic ideas to make this statement. And then another important point in Maldacena's conjecture was gravity gauge duality. So weakly coupled system. Okay, how can I? Okay. This weakly coupled system in Berg corresponds to the strongly coupled system in field theory, so and vice versa. And then this point become people's very focused on these aspects later. Okay, so this is the picture explanation of the ADS-CFT correspondence. So basically, this is a five-dimensional anti-distal space-time. And then if we read up the information of the Burke in the anti-distal space-time, and then that information can be interpreted as a conformal field theory in four-dimensional Minkowski space-time. So this is the basic ideas. And then what's the benefit of this? So as I explained about the gauge gravity duality, it makes a strongly coupled system in field theory calculable from a weakly coupled system in gravity theory. So and then because of the benefits, people try to make application to many areas. Field theories has a strongly coupled systems. So firstly, you know, people applied quantum chronodynamics, ADS QCD, and then later people tried to make application to the condensed matter systems. So in the condensed matter society, so as techniques developed, and then they found very new phenomena, many new phenomena like quantum criticality and then high temperature superconductors like that. But actually, there are many new phenomena, but it's still, we have many things cannot explain. But in the high energy society, we had new conjectures like holographic correspondence. Then let's use it. This is kind of motivations for studying ADS's CFT. And then my motivations to the high temperature holographic superconductors is this. So we aim to mimic the high temperature superconductors, so or unconventional superconductors. So cuprate was discovered in 1986, but the conventional superconductors, the highest known temperature was 23 kelvins. And then nictite was found in iron arsenide compound in 2008, and then superconductivity is seen up to 56 Kelvin. So in unconventional superconductor case, electron pairing state is singlet and D-wave. The well is the conventional one is S-wave. And then in here, lattice should not be ignored. So lattice and the electrons and then strongly correlated. But in conventional superconductors, people consider lattice and then electron pairs just weakly correlated and then many cases ignored. But here in this case, we should not. And then anisotropy of energy gap in momentum space is observed. Okay, the problem is there is no mechanisms for high temperature superconductors so far. So can you find the phenomenological model first, such like Landau-Ginzburg models for high temperature superconductors? So then let us try this with another viewpoint. You know, now we have a holographic conjecture, so let's try with this, with gravity. So that is the motivations. Okay, so let me explain the original the model holographic superconductor suggested by Hartners and Herzog and then Horowitz. It's 2008 papers. So firstly, they considered this kind of gravity actions. Einstein-Hilbert terms and then cosmological constant, negative cosmological constant, and then Maxwell field. This action has iron ADS black hole solutions, and then it is known this iron ADS black hole is unstable under a certain low temperatures. So let's consider about some perturbations of complex scalar field. So under complex scalar field perturbations, it turns to hairy black hole space time from iron ADS black holes to the hairy black hole system. Okay, then let's look at this instability a little bit details. So if we write down the Klein-Gordon equations for complex scalar field, and then the background metric is ADS, and then if we expand that equations, then effective mass can be written in this ways. So we know GTT component is negative, So then there is a chance this effective mass square become negative. Then this negative mass will, you know, make destabilize the black hole horizons. Then, okay, then let's look at the asymptotic geometries. So what you want is just keep the asymptotic geometry to be ADS space-time. But even though the mass have a chance to be negative, the ADS space-time can be stable. So if the mass square is bigger than BF bound, like this. So in order to be keep this ADS space-time, we're going to fix this m square is minus 2. So we're going to set at L equals 1 here. So basically, the instability comes from these couplings for a complex scalar field coupled to the charge of the black holes. And then we can think about the what if Q equals zeros? You know, if Q equals zeros, then we don't have these terms. Then there is no instability. So actually, there is. So nearly extreme RNA-ADS black hole remains unstable to and from neutral scalar hair if M square is close to the BF bound. So people know in near horizon geometry of extreme RNA-ADS black hole is ADS 2 cross R2. So mass range lies in this regions, then it is unstable at near horizons, but stable at asymptotics. So, but in this case, this process is not associated with the superconductivity because it's not break even symmetry. So our consideration is just this case, you know, charged complex scalar field. Okay, so this is their result. So now we had we started with RNA ADS black holes, and then on the temperature was low enough. Then, at some point, if we give some complex scalar field perturbations, they will make these hairy black hole space times. So this is the difference. This and this is boundary conditions. So in this case, conformal dimension of the operators is 1, and then in this case, is conformal dimension of the scalar field is 2. So at the boundary of the space time, they have this kind of, you know, profiles of the complex scalar field. So this looks like all the parameter of the all the parameter diagrams in the condensed matters for second phase transitions. So we can identify this as all the parameters, the complex scalar field condensations. So now we generated hairy black hole space time. You know, this kind of. On this background space-time, we're going to make up perturbations and then calculate the conductivities. So this is the result. This is for the conformal dimension equals 1, and this is for conformal dimension equals 2. So let's look at this. So this case, you know, this is a dot, there is a red dashed line here. This indicates the temperature is same as the critical temperatures. So this is a kind of indicates the normal state, and then these two graphs indicate the superconducting phase. So this is, and then this is the real part of the conductivities. And then I didn't show the imaginary part of the conductivities. And the imaginary part of the conductivities has a pole at omega equals zeros. So by Cramer's Kronig relations, so if and only if the imaginary part has a pole, that indicates delta functions at omega equals zero. So basically, this imaginary part has a pole at omega equals zero that indicates the Dirac delta functions here. So here, the problem is this. Even in normal phase, we have this Dirac delta functions. These tools are for superconducting phase. For superconducting phase, we can think, okay, that is the contribution of the superconductivities. But in normal phase, we have the infinite conductivities. So they blame these authors. So this in the Burke side, we employed the Maxwell field, and then in the field theory side, that corresponds to the medium of the materials. And then they are translational invariants. So because of the translational invariance, it makes infinite conductivities. So that means in normal phase, the phase is corresponds to the perfect conductors. Since it is perfect conductors, it has this kind of the infinite conductivities. But actually, this result is quite different from the real condensed matter systems. In real condensed matter systems, we have finite conductivities. So, in order to make a or mimic the real condensed matter systems, we need to break the translational invariance. And then in normal phase, we want to obtain some finite conductivities. And then in superconducting phase, we want to obtain the infinite conductivities, which contributed by the superconducting effects. So this is the our goals. Okay, let's try. Okay, let me explain our holographic superconductor models. So this is the gravity actions. So here we employed this massless scalar field. It's a real scalar field, and then this is our ansatz for the metric, and then this is Maxwell field ansatz. And then this is the massless scalar field. We employ the linear Dilaton field, like. So psi x equals beta over L square x, and then psi y equals beta over L square y. So we expect these effects will break the translational symmetry in the over the media. So, and then if we complex scalar field is zeros, then the exact solution is known like this. Okay, so in holography work, the important thing is set up the renormalized action. So we should very carefully deal with the boundary of the space-time. So okay, let's make a asymptotic expansions. So metric, this is for metric, and then this is for a complex scalar field and Maxwell field. Let's put them together to the actions. Here I show the Burke actions, the Einstein-Hilbert action, cosmological constants, Maxwell, then complex scalars, and then linear Dilatons. Actually, we have to take out some information at the boundary of the space-time. We should consider boundary terms of the Burke. So this is the Gibbons-Hawking terms, and then this is the boundary terms for the complex scalar field. So if we plug asymptotic solutions, asymptotic expansions to these actions, then we have a divergent terms like this. I just wrote down the divergent terms like here for the Burke and then here for the boundaries. So if we add them up, we still have a divergence. So this is general features for non-compact space times. So in order to make the action finite, we need to set up the counter terms. So we set up these kind of counter terms, and then if we plug to the asymptotic expansions, then we obtain these terms. So as you see, these divergences cancel each other.
Do you just put them there to make it finite? Is there a deeper reason?
Actually,
you can't just do it.
Okay.
You can't just leave them away as well. Right?
Yeah, actually, gravity action diverge. For the Minkowski space, uh-huh. And then if you consider these boundary terms, usually make a divergence. Yeah. So actually, this is kind of general argument in the gravity theories, and then so the. We want to kind of impose the action principles. We have to get the action, variation of action should give us the equation of motion. And the second, the action should be finite. That's what you want. We want to pick up some information at the boundary space time. Then we have to set up some boundary actions, in order to get the equation of Einstein equation of motions, then we needed these kind of boundary terms. The problem is this boundary terms make divergence, diverge. If we go to the asymptotic regimes, then we need to get removed of the divergence. So we put some these non-dynamical terms. It doesn't make any effects to the equation of motions, these counter terms. And then these counter terms, what's the rule of these counter terms, you know, kill the divergence of the action? Yeah. Then we can get the renormalized action. Yeah. So we all renormalized action like this. And then let me explain what happens in the Burke side, the gravity side. So this is the metric, and then this is the metric functions, and then this is temperatures. So here I just fixed the RH, you know, event horizon, and then mu. And through the relations, temperatures, and then charge of the black holes. They have this kind of relations. And then, okay, let's look at this regimes. Okay, let's just say that this point is critical temperatures. And then above the critical temperatures, we have these black holes, you know, planar black holes. We are considering now planar black holes. So here, we have this RNADS and the with massless scalar field, black holes is stable. So they have a charge M and Q. And then, okay, so let's increase the magnetic charge of the black holes. So near the black hole horizon, electric field is very strong. So let's increase the charge of the electric charge. And then at the critical point, critical temperatures, they make some, you know, pair creations of the charged particles. You can think about like, you know, Schwinger effects. You know, near the black hole horizon, the magnetic field is very strong, then we'll have a Schwinger mechanisms, and they will create it. They will create a pair of the charged scalar field. So if the charge is different, then the different charge will fall into the black holes, but the same charge will accumulate it into the Burke. So if we, you know, roll the temperatures, then we have some, you know, complex field condensate at the accumulated at the Burke, and then we have a new black hole space time, which is the Hairy black hole space time. So this kind of picture explains phase transitions from RNADS black holes to the Hairy black holes. Okay. Since we have this RNADS black hole with the massless scalar field, we have exact solutions, but the Hairy black hole we generate numerically. Okay.
Before you go into Hairy black hole, so presumably because you did well graph criminalization,
yes.
So you also know pressure and
Yes, yes. I didn't write down, but we already calculated.
But at least the system is stable, right? So I don't have much intuition
Actually, we calculated the free energy. Then we compared the free energy for the RNADS black holes with massless scalar field, and then the Hairy black holes with massless scalar field.
I mean, for example, what's the speed of sound? There was your model is sort of similar to, you know, linear dilaton models by David Matthews and company.
Yeah.
And so in some regimes, once you start having linear profiles, might start developing instabilities. So my question is, once you have a profile for your scalar fields, are you sure you don't have any instabilities in this?
Okay, so actually in this here, we didn't consider the kind of instabilities.
So you don't know?
Yeah, we didn't take a look into that, in that aspect, Okay, so since we generated the Hairy black hole systems, black hole space-time, so we want to know some properties of these of the Hairy black hole systems. So we make a So what you can do, so we will make a probation of the Hilbert black hole systems. So firstly, we consider infinitesimal coordinate transformations like this, then choosing this gauge. Then there is a change of the gravitational field, and then there will be a change of the maxillary field, this much, and then this much. So and then we also can consider external field. So for this maxillary field and maxillary scalar field. So we have this kind of variations of each field, and then this is the black hole. So at the boundary, at the horizon of the black hole, we will impose the incoming boundary conditions, and then this is the asymptotics. At the asymptotics, we will impose the Dirichlet boundary conditions in order to solve the linearized coupled equations. So for example, this is the linearized equations of motion for fluctuations. So okay, so this is for the the A, the maxillary field. So if we this and then these beta terms are placed because of the we considering a linear dilatant field. So basically, in original the holographic models, these beta terms was not here. So let's ignore some R dependence here. Let's briefly look at these equations. If we ignore R dependence, then as you can see this kind of additional terms. So we expect this kind of terms will make some dampings of the systems, roughly expecting. Okay, so so far I explained what happens in the bulk gravitational systems. And then I showed you how we generated Hilbert black hole systems and then make up probations, how that the change can be made. Okay, so let me explain the holographic dictionaries. So this is from the ADS CFT. So the partition function, the quantum field theory, can be would be equivalent to the partition functions from the gravity, the calculated at the boundary of the space-time. So since we construct these partition functions, then we can calculate the one and the higher point correlation functions. So this pi indicates all fields, the scalar field, vector fields, and then the tensor fields, all fields. So if we make a variation with respect to the fields, then we can get the one point correlation functions, and then second derivative, and then two correlation functions, and the third derivative, or third correlation functions. For example, energy current and then electric current and then condensation operators in the field theory can be calculated in these ways. So this is the indices metric of the boundary. So if you make a variations, then we can calculate the energy current and then make a variation with respect to the Maxwell field. We can get the electric current, and then this is the Maxwell scalar field. This is complex scalar field. Sorry, it should be pi, then we can have these condensation operators. So this is the holographic dictionaries. Okay, then in our context, how we can interpret? So we can interpret RNA this black hole in gravity corresponds to normal state in condensed matter theory, and the Hilbert black holes in gravity corresponds to the supercontacting phase. And then phase transitions from RNA disk black holes to Hilbert black holes at critical temperatures can correspond to phase transition from normal phase to the superconducting phase at critical temperatures. So black hole scalar field here at boundary corresponds to electrons pair condensations. And then the combination of fluctuations for metric fields and the Maxwell field and then complex scalar field corresponds to electric and then electrothermal and then thermal conductivities by using ADS-CFT dictionaries and then linear response theories. And then diffeomorphism invariance at the boundary of the space-time can correspond to the world identity in field theories. So basically, by using this interpretation, we're gonna interpret our numerical result. Okay, so since we generated the Hilbert black hole systems, we could have this kind of condensations of the scalar field at the boundary of the space-time. So basically, we fixed. So what it can fix is chemical potentials and then betas. So betas is in this model we consider the Maxwell's scalar field, which is psi. Psi equals beta x or beta y. So that is the betas, and then this is chemical potential. So we fixed the ratio of them. So we consider the ratio is 1, ratio equals 10. So then we have found out this kind of, you know, condensation profiles. And this is a three-dimensional plot. So we considered a conformal dimension is 2, which corresponds to mass equals minus 2 of the complex scalar field, and we considered Q equals 3. And then we calculated, okay, once we generated hairy black hole systems, so we calculated conductivities by making small perturbations. So firstly, we calculated quadratic terms of the renormalized actions. So V2 is the two-dimensional spatial volumes, like this. This is the source, and the ADSFD dictionaries, this corresponds to the source, these red colors. And then the these higher powers corresponds to the response. So this is just from the linear response theories. So if we have a source, a little bit source, and then this is the response, and then they are related by the Green functions. So and then this source make a response to this, then this source make a response to this. And then these Green functions can identify with these physical quantities. This sigma is, you know, calls electric conductivities. And then this alpha is thermal electric conductivities. And then this kappa is thermal conductivities. But actually, this is just general arguments in the linear response theories. And then here, in our systems, so we made a little bit in the perturbations, and then the properties of these are linear. The equation is linear equations. So what is a good thing is this source, this response can be replaced by this source. So this quadratic renormalized action can be changed like this: source, Green function, source. So basically, we can have this. We can change this quadratic equations to these forms, and then we can make a correspondence. So we can read up the conductivities, electric conductivities, thermal conductivities, and then thermal electric conductivities. So this is our result. This is the electric conductivities, and then real part, and the imaginary part, and then this is the thermal electric conductivities, real part, imaginary part. This is for the thermal conductivities. So I'm just showing this graph for beta over mu equals 0.1. So here, this dashed line is for normal phase, P over TC equals 1.52. And then this red line, just in a critical case. And the rest of them indicates the superconducting phase. So as you can see, this is the normal phase. So in the original papers, in the imaginary part of the conductivity, they had a pulse, omega pulse, for normal phase. But as you can see, this, you know, normal phase, it has a finite values. Can you see it? Okay, so actually it goes down. So this dot and red graph has finite values for the imaginary part. And then, but other superconducting phase for these three, they are diverge. So this is the very interesting result for our research. So we, yeah.
So, related to Alex's question.
Yep.
If there was an instability in the boat, if that's shown as a
Okay, so actually we considered about some instabilities generated by the massless scalar field, but we couldn't that much, you know, consider it. So, yeah.
We solved the coupled equation.
Well, this is the bound class, right? So If Alex is right and there's increasing instabilities there, then we wouldn't necessarily see
it. The most naive instability, which is the easiest to check, is like the negative, the imaginary speed of sound. We wouldn't see it. We would appear as a fall of a 2-point correlation function of the stress energy and some polarization, but not here. So even though you take it into account.
Okay, thank you. And then we checked our data for conductivity and fit for the Durud forms. So we considered this kind of Durud forms, and then you know we made numerical fittings. And then when beta equals smaller, then this our numerical data fits very well to Durud forms. But if beta is big, then this Durud form didn't work. Okay, we also checked these some rules, and then here. This is for the conductivities for normal phase, and then this is the conductivities for the superconductors. And then Ks, we can read up Ks from here, the Durud form. So, and then we check the sum rules, and then, you know, the minus of this should be zero. So we find out our numerical result satisfy the sum rules. And then we also check the award identities. So if we make if we require diffeomorphism invariance at the boundary of the space time, then this should satisfy zeros. So this is the first order word identities. And then if we make a variation of the first order identities with respect to the induced boundary matrix and the Maxwell field and the massless scalar field, we can obtain the this kind of form of the word identities. These two correlation functions, you know, the time product can correspond to the Green functions. And then these two correlation functions is defined in terms of the conductivities. So with the three conductivities, we've numerically checked our data satisfies these word identities. So and then, what is a good thing to check the word identity is this. So word identity give us the additional information. So since we in the graph we found numerical data, we found this in our thermoelectric conductivities is finite. So there is no pulse, omega pulse in image. In imaginary part, and then the imaginary part of this we already shown in the Durud form. That is corresponds to the Ks, which is interpreted as the superfluid densities. And then this is the normal density. And then this will correspond to the, this is the total normal density. And then this will correspond to the Kn. So this total normal density minus, you know, superfluid density will give us the Kn. It's this is the Kn. So this orange color is fitting in this like this, and then this blue color, this we interpreted as a superfluid density is fitting in this way. But at the critical temperatures, you know, this superfluid density increasing. And then this is for beta mu over beta equals one case. So actually in this case, they don't meet. But if we increasing the value of the beta over mu over beta, then they meet . So this, you know, this difference becomes, you know, getting smaller if we increase beta over mu increase. So this is the phenomena, and then with this value of Ks, we could check the universal laws, something like Ohm's laws and the Uemura's laws. So actually, the numerical data doesn't go to the zero temperature regions. But as you can see, we just, you know, it assumed these data is smoothly behave. So we just explorating the data to the zero temperature regions, and then we could read up this Ks, which is the superfluid density at the zero temperatures. And then this is the Ohm's laws. The superfluid density equals, you know, some constant times, you know, the conductivities, these conductivities, and then times the critical temperatures. So we firstly checked the Holmes laws, but we couldn't see any, you know, linear behaviors, these superfluid densities, and then with these values. So this is just different fittings. And then next, we check the Uemura rules. And then Ks equals this is the constant and proportional to the critical temperatures. And then in this regime, indicates the beta over the mu over beta is small. The mu over beta is big. So this is this regime, you know, fits the Derrida forms. And in this regime, so we check the Uemura rule holes. And then this data is fitting for calculated just for Q equal 3 case. And then we checked the Q equal 2 case, Q equal 6 case. But they are they showed qualitatively similar behaviors, but the constant was different. So for example, Q equal 2 shows like this behaviors. Q equal 6 shows like this like behaviors. So basically the constant ratio was different depending on the charge. So I'll summarize. So we generated a hairy black hole solution with an action field beta. And then critical temperature decreases when beta over mu is small and increases when beta over mu is large. So we numerically calculated optical conductivity and thermoelectric conductivities and then thermal conductivities. When the system undergoes a phase transition from normal to the superconducting phase, one of omega 4 appears in the imaginary part of conductive electric conductivities. So that implies the infinite disconductivities. So if beta over mu be smaller than 1, then at a small omega regimes, the fluid model has imaginary one of omega 4s. And the Derrida form works for these conductivities. But if beta over mu is bigger than 1, then no non-Derrida peak replace the Derrida peaks. And then we also check these FGT sum rules, and the sum rules are satisfied all cases. And we also check the word identities, and then that is satisfied. And then we found the Holmes rule doesn't work in our models, but the Uemura rule seems to work for these regimes. And then, but the constant ratio, constant values depend different depending on the charge of the scalar field. Yeah,
okay. I'm there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any
questions?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you keep asking the same question.
Okay.
So the reason is beta, right? So
yes.
This is beta that you put by hand.
Yes, right.
So, but in principle,
yep,
you know, that corresponds to a particular distribution, a particular condensate of, you know, of your axion field, whose gradient of that condensate is beta. So you're assuming that the gradient of the condensate is homogeneous and is equal to beta. But there can be, you know, the dynamics of that condensate, so that the condensate can start clumping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So is there some particular reason why?
Actually, the condensation is, you know, by the complex scalar field.
So I understand
that
before you condense a complex scalar field, you set up a profile
of
your axion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that there can be dynamics in that condensation.
Yeah,
before
your
scalar, before the complex scalar field condenses.
Yeah.
In particular, you know, if you were to show that changing beta corresponds to, you know, non-normalizable component, but I don't think so. I think that it's a normalizable component. I can just redistribute.
Yeah.
Sort of what I am referring to is basically study fluctuations in the condensate before the scalar condensate.
Okay.
Before the complex scalar condensate.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know that a bunch of people, it's not a you know, sort of criticism to you. I know some other people, in particular in the model of this type, you can violate it over S. Just sort of at the two derivative level. But what I'm curious is that, in a condensed matter system, that's a pretty strange system when you have, you sort of fine-tune the condensate to begin.
But here you could have a big
this is just a space-dependent source that you comment on. Right, but see, that would be a source, it would be not normalizable. Right, then it would mean that you can literally think of it as a source. Then I would be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that it's a source. In other words, that it takes finite energy to redistribute that condensate.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a source or
that
linear?
Oh, the beta?
The linearly increasing.
Is it
a normalizable component of the scale truth or not? Of your axiom?
So we just use the beta x exact solutions, linear axioms, beta x, and then if you write down the axioms, then it makes some diverge
okay,
component.
It can be a source.
Yeah.
So if you have if your axiom
but,
is exactly massless,
yeah,
and your input dimension, then that is a source.
Mm.
It can be a source because it's like a constant.
Yeah.
For an axion, it's dimension zero and dimension.
Okay.
So it is a source.
Yeah, but problem is we don't consider any response of that. So
it's
a little bit ambiguous. Yeah.
Then that's okay.
So another question. So we're really confused about mechanism of momentum dissipation.
Mm-hmm.
So here, although this field has a gradient in space, the action only the gradient matter. So the derivative is still constant.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow it seems like the action doesn't really know there's a spatial gradient.
Okay, so one thing we can assume that this is the perturbative equation of linearized equation of motions for perturbations. And then simply what you can see is if we ignore the R dependence, then we kind of these damping terms. Actually, this term was not present in the previous holography models. So we can blame this kind of term makes some, momentum relaxations. So if we don't have these terms, then you just ignore it simply. If we see simply of the system, then if ignore the R dependence, then this equation motions will give us some just planar solutions. But, because of this, additional terms, the functions like, damping terms in the classical mechanics, simply seeing, if we see this equation motion in a simple way.
There's no explicit x dependence.
No x dependence. So actually the reason we employed this linear Dilaton field because we don't need to solve partial differential equations. So many people try to make some momentum relaxation and realize the lattice. But in their models, in many cases, they had to solve the partial differential equations. But our purpose is try to avoid to solve the partial differential equations, and then so that's why we employ the Messler scalar field. Yeah.
The point is that from the metric perspective, the translational invariance along the x direction is not local because your metric.
Yes. It's isotropic and homogeneous.
It's not broken, everywhere in the box. So then, since you didn't break the translational invariance,
So that is that is why I'm showing this, equations motion. In the equation of motion level, we can see this kind of terms, additional terms. So it looks like functioning of dampings and then some giving a momentum relaxations. Yeah, I agree with the, in the metric answers which we have it's isometric and homogeneous. Yeah. Hi.
If the metric equation is good translation in
game,
I thought there would be a scalar
data function.
You said there's DC conductivity is finite.
Yeah, in the normal phase. Yes.
Do you have a metric value for that?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So onion root values for, actually this values is known. Or I'm not sure exactly this is beta over mu square or mu square over beta square. For, yeah. I think this is the this values at omega equals zero, I think, as I remember. Yeah.
I think maybe the confusion is because we're thinking in terms of the stress energy tensor, and it looks like that the stress energy tensor comes from the metric, so if metric is translationally invariant, then the boundary stress energy tensor mm-hmm. should be translationally invariant. Mm-hmm. But that's not true because of the counter charge. So you sort of, because the boundary stress energy tensor is divergent, you need to introduce boundary counter charge. Okay. And boundary counter charge are precisely the, you know, the gradients. They sensitive, right? So some of the counter terms explicitly include the and so sort of the boundary stress energy tensor does feel the that's a counter term independent of the axons. So
yeah.
Not what's up.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the way why you know, even though the metric, the bulk metric is translational invariant, the boundary stress energy tensor is sensitive to the source.
I think this universe curve
is interesting, right? That it comes only from the counter transactions, the breaking of transactional invariant. Because all the other pieces, the bulk of course doesn't break.
Usually
the boundary term depends on the gradient. So.
Yep.
Yes, that's the only way. Otherwise, I would be completely confused. Where does the, at least there is a sector, clear that the axion field is not homogeneous. So psi has a linear profile.
Actually, the x direction and y direction is homogeneous. We are employing
the
opposite.
Yeah, but not wrong, you know, not in the other direction. Psi
I need
the
x on. No, it's x direction and y direction is homogeneous. We employ beta x, also beta y.
Yeah, but at least in some direction.
Right.
That's so when you compute the energy density and the pressure, because they would end up being absolutely independent of x, y, and z.
Yes, it's independent, yeah.
So assuming there's no instability, would the sound won't get or get this?
Okay, sorry again, but actually we didn't check about that aspect. So, yeah. Yeah, actually, we had some questions about, you know, the, so we consider, in the holography, so we consider source and the response, you know, the first order, you know, for, if we expand it, then first time we correspond the source, and then the next time we correspond in the response, but this linear, you know, dilatons, you know, they just, you know, we implode just beta x, there's no, you know, the higher powers, and then,
so
it's a little bit,
Yeah, it would be interesting to look at the sound and see if that would be a clear signature.
Yes. Any more questions? Not then let's